Right now, we've got Susan McGuire of the Chapel Hill Public Library joining us here in the studio. Thank you for joining us on this Wednesday after the snowstorm.
Yes, I braved the totally clear roads.
There's still some snow left on the...
Actually, the
turn lanes are pretty much fine today on the main roads. That was the issue yesterday for me.
And the library parking lot is a little funky.
There's still a little bit of stuff out there.
Yeah.
Just be careful out there and you'll be fine, basically, at this point. Yeah. So the snow, the library actually stayed open on Friday, right?
Friday. We closed 1 hour early.
1 hour early, but braving the snow for people on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
How busy was it that day?
It was not busy at all.
Was it not busy? Okay. There are days when everything is closed, the library is open, and it's packed, but not on Friday.
No, because I think the roads were bad. Shout out to Susan Brown and our assistant director, Megan Rosen, were working the service desks.
Yes.
Like champs.
Yeah. So so that was Friday, but I know the library had to close on the weekend, and that meant no book group bash, which we were so excited about a week ago. But
yeah. Well, we ended up being open on Sunday, but just figured that people wouldn't want to venture out.
Yeah.
And it wasn't too crowded.
Okay.
Everybody came in on Monday.
Okay. That works. So no book group bash this past weekend, but there's talks about rescheduling it for February, maybe?
Yeah. We're hoping for the end of the month, and we're going to get a new AV system in the meeting room. So
cool. So all the better. Right?
Everything. Yeah. So it worked out.
All right. Sounds good. So we'll keep our ears out for that, and we'll let you know about it as we get final information. We're speaking with Susan McGuire of the Chapel Hill Public Library. We're doing book recommendations. We're going to be doing book recommendations for what to read on a snowy day when you're stuck inside, the house, looking outside and seeing the snow and ice on the ground.
Yeah.
I'm really tempted to ask you what you would recommend for the Bundy family.
Well, I mean, I feel like
you
I
just
went
came out of that report
a little bit dark with my suggestions, and I don't know why. I feel like I should have been like, oh, it's snowy and you need distractions. You should read light, fluffy, wonderful things, which is what I usually prefer to read.
Yes.
But
yeah. No, that's fine. I was going with, book recommendations for a snowy day are got to be a little bit similar to book recommendations for any time.
You're
stuck inside, what do you read? But I was thinking, when I started coming up with mine, I was like, okay, so what can you read in a day? What can you sit down and just open up the book and start reading it, and by the end of the day, you're ready to go to bed, you're going to wake up tomorrow morning, and the roads are going to be clear, and sunshine's out, everything's melting, you can go back to work or school or whatever, and resume your life.
The mild book hangover.
And you're done with the book. Like, you finished it in that one day. So that's where I was coming from when I came up with mine. But we'll give you the first word. What is your first recommendation for a snowy day book for the next snowstorm?
So I guess maybe along the lines of something you could read in a day. My first book is just a short story.
Okay.
That felt ironic to suggest. But it's the story All in a Summer Day by Ray Bradbury. No, All Summer in a Day.
I've recommended this.
Yeah.
I love this story.
I think I read it when I was in middle school, maybe, and it just really stuck with me. And every so often I Google, like, what's that book about the sun?
Yes. I think I recommended this when Susan Brown was here, and she didn't know it, which surprised me because she would be all over this, too. This is a great story.
So, I mean, you know, I guess just a collected Ray Bradbury stories.
Okay.
But, it's about a community of people who live on Venus, and the main character was raised on Earth, so she knows all about the sun, but nobody else does, and so she's describing how the sun, you know, is like a copper penny, and how hot it is, and nobody believes her, and they get mad, and she's like 9, I think, so they lock her in a closet in the classroom, and the sun comes out, as it does for a few hours once every 5 years, and they're like, oh my gosh, she was right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the entire plot.
But right.
It's totally worth reading it anyway, even
if
you know what happens.
Yeah, really, really good story. Okay, so kind of going along with that, I went with one that I have not read in years and years and years, and we've talked about it in book recommendation segments before, but it's such a great book to read on a snowy day because it's called The Snowy Day by Ezra Jack Keats, which is such a great children's book, historically significant too, because it's one of the first children's books ever to feature an African-American protagonist. And it's just nothing to do so much with the plot. It's just a snowy day.
Right.
And here's a kid
and it's so beautiful.
Living his
oh,
life.
I
and
love
it's so
that
beautiful
book.
Out. But historically significant and also just a terrific book.
Yeah.
Too. Yeah. For kids to read on a snowy day. So.
And if you can't finish that in a day,
then
come to the library.
Then come to the library. Yes.
Okay. So I think I made a joke about The Shining.
Yes.
But then that's too scary for me. So I started thinking about other, like, the locked room mystery.
Oh,
that,
yeah.
So that's sort of like a golden age of mystery tradition.
Are we about to recommend the same book?
No.
Because okay.
I chose one that was, I don't know. We might. I chose one that was pretty new.
Okay. This is
so,
not new.
Yeah.
Mine is not new.
Okay, good. Well, I chose The Beautiful Mystery, which is part of a series by Louise Penny.
Okay.
And she's kind of hot right now, like her mystery series. It's set in Quebec featuring Chief Inspector Armand Gamache.
Very nice.
Yes.
Yes.
And this one is set at a monastery.
Okay.
In like a remote part of Quebec where the monks, they make chocolate and they do Gregorian chant. And they had like a record.
Mm-hmm.
That was sort of a hit, but they're still cloistered. So there's
yes.
no outside people come in until the inspector comes in and they have to figure out. Oh,
okay.
Yeah, and one of them dies.
And one of them dies.
That's the beginning of
and
the
And it's murder or do they not even
yeah,
know
his
that?
Yeah, head was like
okay.
bashed in.
Okay, so.
So it's for real.
Someone killed him and the inspector has to figure it out.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like it. What's it called again? The Beautiful?
The Beautiful Mystery.
Mystery. Okay, I'm going to have to check that
out. And
the
whole series is great, but.
I'm kind of trying to get into mysteries this year. I've gotten a couple of books that I picked up that I want to read, and I got a collection of mystery short stories. And my next recommendation, you mentioned locked room mysteries, and I'm like, oh, okay, because this is a book that you can definitely read in the day, and it's a great. Not necessarily snowy, but nasty weather mystery that locks everyone inside a house on an island, which is Agatha Christie's And Then There Were
yes.
None, a.k.a. 10 Little Indians, if you want the politically incorrect title. But And Then There Were None is the title of the book. And such a great mystery. And I didn't see the ending coming. So I'm usually pretty good about guessing the twist ending, but not with this one.
You know, I don't know that I read that one.
It's really good. I mean, it's 10 people locked in a house and they just keep dying one after another. And
like
who is
Clue.
The murderer? Yeah, exactly. The greatest movie
but
ever.
Funny.
Yvette. So that's mine.
All right.
As far as mystery goes.
So like I said, I started thinking of dark books and it just like led me down a path.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm gonna go with this path. and this book was a little bit weird, but it is a mystery. But it's called The City in the City by China Miéville.
Okay.
And I don't know if that's how you say his last name.
We'll go with it.
Thank you.
How do you spell it?
Miéville. And China, like the country.
Miéville?
Yeah,
okay.
Right? I don't know. So anyway, there's a body is found in this city, and the detective is investigating it, but then it turns out that there might be some involvement from a neighboring city, but the strange thing about these two cities is that they actually occupy the same physical space. Have I talked about this book
before?
I don't
think so.
So they occupy the same physical space, and the two cities can't acknowledge each other. Like, it's illegal to acknowledge each other.
Like in the sort of parallel universe way, or in the, like, Budapest, one city's across the river from
well,
the other?
Well, yeah, I
way.
Mean, I haven't been to Istanbul, but, like, the city felt a little bit like what I imagine Istanbul is
okay.
like. But, yeah, I mean, it seemed like they were, the other people are physically there.
Okay.
But you
so
can't.
We can, it's not like we're literally in
but
this,
you have
like
to
there's
act
another
like
person
it's
who's
parallel.
Standing in the same
right.
spot. Okay, gotcha.
And so it's got this like level of political
uh-huh.
unreality that's really interesting. And then the murder is what kind of moves the plot along. And I don't know, it's just really great.
All right, cool. You went with the mysteries this time.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. And The Shining,
I don't know.
Which
snow
didn't
makes
even,
me think of
apparently,
murder.
Apparently, yeah. Snow makes me think of murder. And and then the Shining, which didn't make the recommendations, but we're talking about this too. I just saw The Babadook for the first time.
Oh my God, I will never see that movie. Because I read about the spoilers.
yeah, it's
about
pretty,
a book, right?
It is about a book, yeah. It's a very scary movie. It's got a little bit of a Shining element to the end. Like the ending is a little Shining mixed with Home Alone in a very weird way.
Well,
which
Home
I'm just
Alone
gonna,
is pretty violent.
Yeah, well, right. right. Like it's two people and it's an adult and a child and they're fighting each other. So there's like there's The Shining and then all of a sudden it's Home Alone and then it's back and forth. But without spoiling any more, but I was thinking about The Shining this past weekend because I was watching this movie while stuck in the snow.
Why would you watch that movie when it's dark and cold and scary?
Why would you watch that movie under any other circumstances?
Why? Well, the woman who's in that movie, whose name I forget, is in this Australian TV series called Fisher Mysteries.
Yes.
Which are set like in the 20s in Australia, and they're based on a book series. That's why I'm talking about it.
Okay.
And the show is wonderful. Like the costumes are amazing. And anyway, mysteries.
She was a really good actor.
Unrelated.
Okay. So my last recommendation is not a mystery at all. It's a great book. It's one of my all-time favorites. And I recommend it for start and finish in one sitting because my experience with – it's Cat's Cradle by Kurt Vonnegut.
Okay.
Which is an amazing book. Nothing to do with snow or weather. I guess it kind of gets weathery there at the end.
I don't think I've read that one.
It gets weathery at the end. Is the only spoiler I'll drop. it's amazing. Like there's two kinds of Kurt Vonnegut fans. There's the Slaughterhouse-Five fans and there's the Cat's Cradle fans. And I think there's a few other people who, if you ask what their favorite Kurt Vonnegut novel is, they'll give you something else. But most people will either say Slaughterhouse-Five or Cat's Cradle, and I'm definitely on the Cat's Cradle camp. But my experience with this is I was taking American political thought in graduate school, and I was sitting in on the undergraduate section of the class, and the professor, and I can't even remember exactly why, assigned this book to his students to sort of wrap up the class, and I had to read it. So I took it outside, and it was actually a beautiful day. I was at Rutgers. It was a beautiful day in New Jersey, which is rare. And I sat down on a park bench and started reading this book, and just over the course of the day, kept reading it and reading it and reading it from start to finish, and I finished it while sitting on a park bench right as the sun was setting at the end of this gorgeous day.
I love that.
And it's such a great book. Like, not only was it just the perfect setting, but it was such a perfect book to read. And it's smart and it's insightful about America and humanity. And it is very dark, but like a lot of Kurt Vonnegut, it's very dark, but it's simultaneously strangely optimistic.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good way of describing it.
Yeah. Less strangely optimistic than maybe some of his other novels, because it is kind of dark. But But it's I don't know. There's a hope for humanity somewhere in there, even if not necessarily on the last page. We'll see.
Yeah. Yeah, his books always do feel hopeful to me.
Yes. Yeah.
Even though they're not.
Like, either there's no, hopeful or a desire to be hopeful.
You can't really point to like evidence of their hopefulness, like maybe he just loves like,
human beings
despite.
Are capable of greatness. We just fail so often.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
and
we can strive and we can try. Yes.
Thanks, Uncle Kurt.
I love Kurt Vonnegut. But that book in particular. So those are my recommendations. You got any more?
Yeah.
All right, go for it.
All right. I have one more book.
All right.
It's called Kindred by Octavia Butler. And it's
the actress Octavia Butler?
No.
Now I'm looking this up.
I don't know. I don't think so. I think this book was written in the 80s. I think you're thinking of a different Octavia.
Am I thinking of Octavia Spencer?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm thinking of Octavia Spencer. Never mind.
Yeah.
There's not too many people in the
Although
world named Octavia.
Right.
So, yeah. Okay.
So this Carry is on. Set in the 80s. And it was written in the 80s. And it's sort of a science fiction classic, but it's like not quite science fiction. But it's about a woman, an African-American woman who's living in contemporary Baltimore, I think. And she ends up getting sucked back in time to pre-Civil War Maryland. And she keeps getting thrown like back and forth in time.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, you know, if you are African-American and it's the Civil War hasn't happened
Maryland,
yet, like
it's
complicated. So it's really powerful and I don't know. It's just so moving and amazing. And her mission, basically, is to save her white ancestor so that he lives to basically procreate so that she can exist. But then it all becomes all sorts of complicated. Like, he's not a good person. And I don't know.
Wow.
Just read it.
Interesting.
That was a terrible book talk, but my
Kindred.
Book talk is read it.
All right.
Kindred by Octavia Butler.
On a certain level, that's really what all book talks down to. Like, it's really just everything else is just words. It's just read it, you'll like it.
But it really, like, it kind of blew people's minds when it first came out because it's so different from any other time travel book and science fiction book. And
interesting.
Just because of a different perspective.
All right, I'll check that out. And also The Beautiful Mysteries. Beautiful Mysteries, right?
Singular.
Beautiful Mystery, which I have to read as well. Okay, so those are our book recommendations. Next time we get a snowstorm, it's not going to be for a while to come, fingers crossed, but the next time that happens, those are your books to read. Susan McGuire, thank you so much.
Hey, thanks.